The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, folk and country music with Bluegrass Roy on Hamlin's Wizard Oil Show. Jimmy Fiddler has Hollywood news on Gossip and Rumors. And Harry Babbitt hosts the radio quiz show Keep It in the Family. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Jimmy Fiddler has Hollywood news on Gossip and Rumors, and Harry Babbitt hosts the radio quiz show Keep It in the Family. Right now, folk and country music with Bluegrass Roy on Hamlin's Wizard Oil Show, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Come all you jolly listeners and listen while I toil. Got some more to tell you about Hamlin's Wizard Oil. In the medicine chest on the family shelf, you'll find it ever there. To relieve muscular aches and pain, the druggist everywhere. Good morning, everyone. And how's all the members of the happy family today? I hope you're all well and happy. And by the way, Dad, you get the home fires going so Mother can get breakfast on, for it's an old-fashioned custom of mine to ask for a cup of coffee after about the second or third song.
I can't forget the day that I was born. It was on a cold and frosty morn. The doctor says I was a chubby chap. For when the nurse, she took me on her lap, oh, she bathed me all over, I remember. And after powder puffing me, you see, she put me in the cradle near the window. In that little shirt that Mother made for me. The first day I wore my knicker bras, I felt so funny after wearing fras. I looked a little picture, they did say. But when they led me out to run and play, oh, I didn't like the pants that I was wearing. So in the street I took them off, you see, and started walking home so brave and daring in that little shirt that Mother made for me. And then the school, they said that I must go. I never liked my teacher, you must know. So when I played the truant quite so dear, the teacher said, now Roy, you come here. With a big stick she beat around on me. There's no mistake about my pedigree. I had the map of Scotland printed on me, neath that little shirt that Mother made for me. Last year while I was on my holidays, upon the briny ocean I did gaze. The water looked so fine I thought I'd go to have a swim, but in a moment, oh, all the girls on the beach at me were staring.
and some were taking pictures I could save. 'Twas very good for me that I was wearing that little shirt that Mother made for me.
Charles Cooper in New Kensington, Pennsylvania, Roger Shriver in Jerusalem, Ohio, and Mr. and Mrs. Clarence McGar way down there in Nashville, Tennessee, yeah, down in Dixie. Well, it's the old impossible number, the barefoot boy with his boots on. You figure it out for yourself.
The night was dark and stormy, the moon was shining bright. The stars were casting burning rays on the storm that raged at night. The lightning struck the cowshed, the cows all chewed their cud. The moonlight set the prairie on fire in the middle of the woods. A barefoot boy with boots on came crawling down the street. His pants were full of pockets, his boots were full of feet. He was born when he was a baby, his grandma's pride and joy. His only sister was a girl and his brother was a boy. He never was a triplet, came in one of being twins. His legs were fastened to his knees just above his shins. His feet were fastened to his hips several inches from his shoulders. When he grew up, he was a man, every day got older. One day he married a woman who quickly became his wife. He couldn't stay a single man and lead a married life. His wife was full of notions, her mouth was full of tongue. They raised a dozen children, all born when they were young. Six girls and five boys, and then another child. They never tried to tame them, let them grow up wild. The young one was a baby, and the old one was born first. The good one was the best one, and the mean one was the worst. They never knew their ages and didn't seem to care. They knew they had a birthday coming every year. They never knew their father's age, but always had a hunch that he was born before their time and the oldest of the bunch. And when they died, they couldn't speak their names, they could not tell. The girls all went to heaven, and the boys all went.
Yes, indeedy. Well, I think they went down to the drugstore to get Grandma a bottle of wizard oil or something. You'll certainly be glad to know that there is a liniment on the market today that will bring you quick, pleasant relief from those troublesome rheumatic muscular aches and pains that are so prevalent at this time of the year. Painful twinges and almost unbearable soreness brought about by cold, damp days and nights and changeable weather. That liniment is none other than Hamlin's Wizard Oil. H-A-M-L-I-N-S, Hamlin's, W-I-Z-A-R-D, Wizard, O-I-L, Oil. Hamlin's Wizard Oil, America's finest liniment. Here's all you have to do. Rub the affected parts thoroughly with Hamlin's Wizard Oil, rub it on, and rub it in. In a few minutes, you'll feel that cooling, soothing muscular relief in those sore muscles. Thousands of folks all over the country rely upon this modern liniment to give them muscular relief and comfort from rheumatism, and you may count on it doing the same for you. Keep a bottle on hand at all times for emergency. Sore muscles, lame backs, strained tendons, any one of the thousands of times when external applications is required. You'll always find Hamlin's Wizard Oil a friend indeed. Now, play safe, friends. Get a bottle of Hamlin's Wizard Oil today from your druggist. Use Hamlin's Wizard Oil under these conditions: that you must be completely satisfied with the results obtained or your money will be refunded. And now for Mrs. Bessie Fenner of Goodrich, Michigan, Mrs. C.M. Sparks in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Mrs. Golden Hicks of El Dorado, Illinois. It's the story of the Mississippi flood.
Another great disaster has come upon our land. down where the Mississippi flows on its way so grand. Springtime flowers were blooming and the world was bright and gay. And the folks along the levee were happy all the day. And then the skies grew cloudy and the rain came falling down. For days that mighty torrent came pouring to the ground. The streams throughout the country kept swelling day by day. Until the angry river was roaring on its way. And then there came a warning the levee could not stand. Brave men fought and struggled to save their native land. But still the raging waters kept pounding at the shore. Until it broke the levee and threw the country torn. Oh, many lives were taken and brave men knelt to pray. For all which they had cherished was madly swept away. The world will gladly help them to pay the awful cost. But gold can never bring them a loved one who is lost. We can't explain the reason these great disasters come. But we must all remember to say that will be done. And though the good may suffer for other people's sin, there is a crown awaiting where eternal life begins.
Well, wouldn't it be nice to sit down and pick up a guitar and strum your own accompaniment, play and sing these old-time favorites that you all love so well? Well, it's easy enough to do, friends, and in my new songbook, you'll find 58 of your favorite old-time cowboy, mountain ballads, and hymns. Now, all the songs in this book are complete with piano music and guitar chord charts. The guitar chord charts are drawn out in diagram form. They show you just how to make all the chords and changes necessary as you go along through each number. And don't forget, the chords are all marked and you can use them for ukulele or banjo. Piano music complete, bass and treble clef. On the front cover of the book, you'll find a photograph of the old country boy that makes all this noise up here. Yeah, all dolled up in the blue serge suit. All ready to go someplace and no place to go. What am I going to do about that? Well, inside the front cover, there's a small bust-sized picture in a 9x12-inch page giving you the full life story. The original price of these books, friends, is 75 cents. And after you've received your copy and looked through it, you'll agree with me that they're well worth every penny of it. But I offer them to you at the remarkably low price of 50 cents, one half a dollar. Sit down and make out your order today, won't you? If you care for one book, just enclose 50 cents in cash or money order. Or, if you like, send along your own personal check. If you have a friend who wishes to send along with you, fold up a dollar bill and send it along in a letter. And the old clock says it's time to go now, friends, but I'll be back tomorrow at the same time. I hope it brought you a little sunshine and happiness this morning. Until tomorrow morning, to all of you, good morning, good luck, and may God bless you. And now it's time to leave you. My song stories are over. I'll be back tomorrow to give you several more. Go to your druggist right away. Relieve muscular aches and pain. Get your bottle of Wizard Oil before I come back again. All right, Mr. Announcer, you can have it any time you want it.
Kellogg's Raisin Bran. Raisins and Bran Flakes, too. They're out of this world. They're out of one package. Kellogg's Raisin Bran. Kellogg's raisins are honeycomb-coated to keep them tender. The Bran Flakes crisper. Kellogg's Raisin Bran. Raisins and Bran Flakes, too. They're out of this world. They're out of one package. Kellogg's Raisin Bran. Eat Kellogg's Raisin Bran.
Aaron presents Jimmy Fidler with news about Joan Crawford, Robert Taylor, Lionel Barrymore, Ingrid Bergman, W.C. Fields, and other stars. From Hollywood, Arid Deodorant presents the Motion Picture Authority, Jimmy Fidler. More people listen to Jimmy Fidler's radio broadcasts than to any other Hollywood commentator. And likewise, America's first and foremost deodorant is Arid, A-R-R-I-D. Yes, Arid is by far the largest seller because it does a double job. Arid protects clothes at the same time as it deodorizes. Go ahead, Jimmy.
This is Jimmy Fidler in Hollywood, where Marlene Dietrich may not be a jitterbug, but she has neat feet and pip hips. Exclusive. Martha Ray has engaged an attorney and says she'll file suit against Hedda Hopper columnist for alleged libel. According to Miss Ray, columnist Hopper stated that the comedian and her husband had quarreled in a nightclub and were near separation. Martha says this is not true, but that Miss Hopper refused to make a correction. Hollywood. Mary Beth Hughes, blonde screen actress, is on the stalk list for Midsummer. She's married to Coast Guard Lieutenant Ted North, ex-actor. Hollywood. The first motion picture star to arrange the return of a Japanese servant to California is Lionel Barrymore. Lionel is giving employment to the Japanese valet who served the late John Barrymore for many years. Exclusive. Following a kidnap scare involving their two children, Joan Crawford and Phil Terry have armed guards on duty at their home. Hollywood. Susan Peters, who was accidentally shot in the spine while on a hunting trip, was brought home from a San Diego hospital on Friday. Doctors have not yet given up hope that she may be able to walk again. Bulletin. Ruby Keeler has presented her husband, John Lowe, with an 8-pound baby girl. It's their second child. Exclusive. Frank Sinatra and MGM Studio have torn up their 5-year contract by mutual agreement. Exclusive. Claudette Colbert today said that after the war, she and her husband planned to adopt 3 children, 2 girls and a boy, all at one time. Hollywood. Jack Oakey and Benita Barton, who have separated and reconciled many times, are again apart. Mrs. Oakey says she'll seek a divorce. Bulletin. Joan Fontaine is in at a local hospital for a minor operation. Bulletin. Greg McClure, first actor to be drafted under the new setup, has been assigned to the medical corps. Exclusive. Harold Ramone, the actor who was accused by Lupe Velez in her death note, was, I learned today, engaged to another Hollywood girl just before he met Miss Velez. She is Mary Jane Hodge, an actress. Miss Hodge and Ramone mysteriously called off their wedding one day before it was scheduled to take place. Bulletin. Dana Andrews, who is second only to Van Johnson among the Bobby Soxers, has been classified 1A in the draft. He's 33, married, and the father of 3 children. Exclusive. Faye Emerson, actress wife of Colonel Elliot Roosevelt, bought a maternity wardrobe at an exclusive Los Angeles store on Friday. Questioned as to whether she is expecting a baby, Miss Emerson replied, "I'm not talking." Exclusive. The Navy will return Lieutenant Robert Taylor to civilian status for 3 months to co-star in the MGM picture They Were Expendable. Paris, France. The band, formerly led by Major Glenn Miller, who's been missing for many weeks, is carrying on in his name at Battlefront. Members of the orchestra have insisted on perpetuating the name of their group as Glenn Miller's Band. London, England. Following the demolition of a high school building by a robot bomb, Gracie Fields' London home is being used as a schoolhouse. I'll have more news in a moment, but right now, there's a man here who wishes to speak to you, Mr. Ken Niles.
Yes, a man talking to women about charm. But when you come right down to the point, who is affected more by a woman's charm? Yes, you're right, a man. And so to be sure of your charm, use Arid. Arid is a snowy white stainless antiseptic cream deodorant that safely stops underarm perspiration and deodorizes. Arid doesn't irritate the skin and doesn't harm fabric. It's exactly right for you. Thousands of women who understand charm swear by Arid. For instance, listen to what lovely Diana Barrymore, John Barrymore's daughter, writes.
I'm glad that people today realize that it is as necessary to use a deodorant as it is to use toothpaste or any other article of personal hygiene. I am enthusiastically pleased with Arid deodorant cream and recommend it highly. I think Arid is a wonderful product.
Do as so many stars do. Use Arid daily and be sure of yourself.
Intimate notes from my little black book, open letter to the theater owners of America. Gentlemen. Recently, at the invitation of a film trade publication, you theater men cast ballots to select the 10 top box office stars of 1944. Supposedly, you rated each star on one consideration only, the amount of cold cash which his or her pictures attracted the box offices. That being true, I shall ask a few questions. Greer Garson is 7th on your list. He was voted that position on the strength of one picture, Madame Curie. But Miss Garson had a co-star in that film, a chap named Walter Pigeon. He received equal billing, and his part was just as important as Greer's. Walter was seen in no other pictures during the year. Consequently, he had no failures to blot his record. Yet, Pigeon's name is not included among your Big Ten. Why? What makes you believe that his contribution to the success of Madame Curie was less important than that of Greer Garson? Don't misunderstand me. I have no quarrel with the high honor you paid Miss Garson. She deserved it. But I do quarrel with your failure to give Pigeon equal credit. What proof have you that it was not the team of Garson and Pigeon that made Madame Curie a box office bonanza? What proof have you, in fact, to guarantee that it wasn't Pigeon rather than Miss Garson that the majority of moviegoers paid their money to see? Your annual selection of top box office stars is important, gentlemen, because it supposedly testifies to their earning power. That's why, when two players co-star in one picture, both should be given equal credit for its success unless you have indisputable proof otherwise. Yours with the opinion that a pigeon can fly as high as a Garson any day, Jimmy Fiddler. It's been reported that Mrs. Walter Slezak gave birth to a baby girl on Friday. What wasn't reported was that Slezak, working at a studio, received a call to hurry to the hospital. But after his arrival, hours went by and still no baby. Meanwhile, the studio was phoning frantically to find out when Walter would return to the set. Finally, a studio official decided that time was being wasted while Slezak paced back and forth. So a magazine writer was sent to the hospital to interview Walter while he awaited the arrival of the baby. The most amusing story of the week was published by a local newspaper, the Burbank Review. Seems that a pretty girl complained to a policeman that a soldier had accosted her. The cop grabbed the G.I. Joe and demanded what he had to say for himself. "It's like this," explained the soldier. "My buddy asked me to come here and meet his sister. He said she had eyes like Lana Turner's, a smile like Joan Crawford, a figure like Betty Grable, a voice..." At this moment, the girl interrupted. "Never mind, officer," she cooed. "I apologize to this gentleman. Anyone might have made the same mistake." Irene Dunn, who is married to Dr. Francis Griffin, told me about a mother and daughter talk she had with a youngster, Mary Frances. The talk concerned the child's future. "Would you like to be an actress?" asked Miss Dunn. "Goodness, no," replied Mary Frances unhesitatingly. "I just want to grow up and marry a fat, jolly man like you did." W.C. Fields told a story on himself the other day that may tickle your funny bones. 20 years ago, related Fields, a doctor in New York warned me that if I didn't give up the demon rum, I'd be dead within 6 months. His diagnosis must have been right, because last week I went to see another doctor, and darned if he didn't tell me the same thing. Attention! News highlights of the week in review. Joyce Reynolds married Lieutenant Robert Lewis, a Marine fighter pilot. Retrial of the Charlie Chaplin fraternity suit was set for May 2nd. Paulette Goddard, who had expected a baby next summer, was rushed to the hospital for an emergency operation. After blood transfusion, she is out of danger. Vivian Blaine, actress, married her agent, George Frank. That's all for now. I'll be back with you at the same time next week. Until then, this is Jimmy Fiddler saying good luck to you. And I do mean you.
Arid does not formulate Jimmy Fiddler's opinion. He reports the news as he sees it. Jimmy Fiddler comes to you from Hollywood.
Some folks called her Dinah. Stole my heart away from me way down Louisiana.
Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry.
Oh, here comes Mr. Strickland now. All right. Yes, yes. Come on now, take us back to Tulsa, man.
Little bee sucks the blossom, big bee gets the honey, darky raise the cotton, white man gets the money.
Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry.
On the goddamn, Mr. Louie, turn it on. Oh, turn it on, boy, turn it on.
Walk and talk, Susie, walk and talk, Susie, walk and talk, Susie, walk and talk, Susie.
Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry.
Big smile, never do look sour.
No.
Travel all over the country, playing by the hour.
Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry. Take me back to Tulsa, I'm too young to marry.
Tulsa, I'm too young to marry. Take me back, Tulsa, I'm too young to wed thee.
You are listening to the Golden Age of Radio with Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys and Take Me Back to Tulsa from 1941. We also heard Jimmy Fiddler with Hollywood News on Gossip and Rumors and Bluegrass Roy on Hamlin's Wizard Oil Show. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, Harry Babbitt hosts the radio quiz show Keep It in the Family as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Say, would you like to keep it in the family? Here it is, the new show that invites the whole family to come on up and keep it in the family. We mean thousands of dollars worth of prizes. The sky's the limit. And here's the star of our show, that young fellow with the giveaway habit, Harry Babbitt.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. And thanks, Rod O'Connor, and hello. Welcome to Keep It in the Family. Oh, boy, we're all excited about this new show. It gives us a chance to meet some wonderful families, gives them a chance to walk off with as many wonderful prizes as they can win. That's right. The bigger the family, the bigger their chances. And just like Rod said, around here, the sky's the limit. So let's get the activity going. Rod, who's our first family?
Well, here they are, Harry. Originally from Oakland, California. Meet the Kelly family, all five of them.
Hey, hi there, Kelly's five. By golly. Hey, it's a pleasure to have all you folks here with us. How about introducing yourselves to the audience? Would you like to do that? Introduce yourselves?
I'm the father, Frank Kelly.
How do you do, Frank?
I'm Doris Kelly.
Hi, Doris.
Larry Kelly.
Pat Kelly.
Arlene Kelly.
Boy, oh boy, isn't that a family for you? Now, before we see how many thousands of dollars worth of prizes you Kellys can take away from us, let's find out a little something about you. I'd better start with the boss of the family there. If it's like it is at my house, that means you, Mrs. Kelly.
Not me. In our family, Frank's the boss.
Oh, really? Is that true, Frank?
Must be. The boss just said so.
I just noticed something. The three children and their mother are blonde, and Frank, you're a redhead. How'd they happen to let you into this family anyway, huh?
I don't know unless they needed somebody to direct traffic.
Well, now, how about the little Kellys here? Larry, you're the tallest now. Tell me, are you the oldest?
Yes, I'm 13.
Mm-hmm. Pat, how about you?
12.
I see. And the cute little girl right there in the middle, Arlene, how old are you?
10.
Oh, boy. Well, Pat, that puts you right in the middle. Which one do you get along with best?
My sister.
I see. Well, now, why is that?
Because I can beat her up.
Whoa! Well, Arlene, do you get along all right having two older brothers?
Yes, I gang up on them.
I see. They call them the weaker sex. I don't know. Larry, do you do any work around the house?
Yes, I get an allowance for it.
I see. Is it a very big allowance?
I don't have to pay income tax for it.
You're lucky, you know that. Mr. Kelly, would you mind telling us what business you're in?
I'm a building contractor.
Well, let's get down to the business of seeing how well you Kellys can keep it in the family. Rod, would you mind explaining the rules of the game to the folks?
Here on this table back here is our fortune wheel. Now, the numbers on the wheel correspond to the numbers on our categories of questions. The Kellys will spin the wheel for their first category. Then they will have to decide which one of the family should try it. Now, if the Kelly they choose answers all five questions correctly, he wins $1,000 worth of prizes for the family. And they'll spin the wheel again for another category and a chance at another $1,000 in prizes. And the Kellys can go right on spinning and winning. The sky's the limit, as long as each Kelly is able to answer the questions by himself. However, should one of them miss, then things happen as he calls for help to keep it in the family.
Oh, thank you, Rod. Now, Kelly family, it's all up to you. First, Mr. Kelly, would you give our wheel a spin and let's see what the first category is going to be. All right? Hey, there it goes, around and around and around, and it stopped on 10. 10. Rod, what do you have there for number 10, a category, please?
Here's our category, Harry. The Kellys have the presidents before they were presidents.
Presidents before there were presidents. There's the first category, and it's worth $1,000 in prizes if you can pick the one in your family you think can handle it. Now, I'm going to let you put your heads together. Be awful careful who you pick. Well, Mr. Kelly, it looks like you're the one. Now, I'll tell you what.
Stuck.
You're really on the spot, brother. I want you to know that, because you can win $1,000 in prizes, and you can start them on their way to winning many thousands of dollars. Now, the rest of the family is behind you there in what we call the substitute bench. Now, they can't say anything to you while you're up here, and please don't look at them, because they may give something away. Will you turn your head this way? That's it, toward the audience. All right. Now, this thing is all up to you. You all set? All right, this is about the early careers of our presidents before they moved into the White House. What president was a civil engineer?
Herbert Hoover.
Right, Herbert Hoover. Okay. Mr. Kelly, you're on your way, $1,000 now, so hang on. All right, here's question number two. What president was once president of Princeton? Think a little bit about this now. You got about 10 seconds. What president was once president of Princeton? Come on.
Wilson.
Hey, he got it. He got it, Harry. He got it. President Wilson. That's absolutely right. Boy, oh boy, that was close, wasn't it? Well, Mr. Kelly, you're really moving. Question number three. What president was once an architect? Mm. 10 seconds. Come on now.
Was it Washington?
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Kelly, you're wrong. Now, I'll tell you what, you don't have to feel down about that because you still get a chance to keep it in the family. Here's what we want you to do now. You look out this way, and we want you to think of a member of your family sitting behind you that you can't see, that you think can answer the questions about the presidents. Give it a little thought now. Be awful careful who you pick. One of them is kind of excited about the possibility back there. Come on, think of one.
Well,
just pick anyone.
I think I'll take Larry.
Larry, hey! Stand up, too. Okay, Larry. Now I'm going to ask you that same question and see if you can answer it. What president was once an architect?
Jefferson.
That's right, Thomas Jefferson. Boy, oh boy. Well, I'll tell you now, Larry, your dad had a call on you, so that kind of reduces the prize. You're up to $500 in prizes. Here's question number four. What president was once governor of Massachusetts? Governor of Massachusetts. Think hard now. Come on, think. Mr. Kelly, you can help in this, too. Come on, you're both up here now. Coolidge, right? He got it. He said Calvin Coolidge, and that is right. That was the fourth question. And now, Larry, come on up here, Mr. Kelly. I want both of you in on this, because this is a big one. This is question number five. What president was once a tailor? Come on now, come on. A tailor. Oh, well, there you go. You missed that, but you still have a chance. You see, you've got three more members of the family behind you. Now, look ahead, and Larry, you get the chance now to pick the next member of your family you think can answer this last question about the presidents. Come on, pick out one. Now. Pick a good one, because we want you to win this.
Mother?
Mother? Mother, come on. Oh. All right, Mrs. Kelly, now you and Mr. Kelly and Larry all have a chance now. You brought in a third member of the family, so your prize is $250, but that's still a lot of money. Remember now, you're on your way to $250 in prizes. Question number five, what president was once a tailor?
Oh, golly. A tailor?
A tailor, yeah.
Could it be Johnson?
Yeah, Andrew Johnson. Got it. Oh, boy, oh, boy, Andrew Johnson. All right, now, I want Rod to give you a list of the prizes.
First, a new Corona Skywriter, the wonderful portable typewriter with the aluminum carrying case. Also, a beautiful 52-piece set of 1847 Rogers Brothers silverware, the finest in silver. And a precision-built wood-turning lathe with a one-half-horsepower heavy-duty motor, and we know the children will love it.
Oh, that's wonderful, Rod. Don't you think so, folks? Thank you so much. So now, Rod, who is our next family to dig into these great prizes?
Well, here they are, Harry. Meet Mr. Yale Fishman, his wife, Catherine, and their son, Sparky.
Hi, folks. How are you? All right, stay right there now. Can I ask you, is this the entire family right here?
No, we have another son, Harvey.
He didn't come with you?
No, he's too busy. He just got married.
Oh, Harvey. Now, wait a minute. I just put two and two together here. Harvey Fishman. Well, I'll be darned. But let's find out a little more about the family, all right? Mr. Fishman, where did you and your wife meet?
Well, she and I were attending Northwestern University, and my fraternity brothers were talking her up quite a bit, and I became rather curious, so I called her up, and we made a date to meet in the hall. And when I got off the elevator, I knew her.
Well, did it take you long to decide to get married?
No, we decided quickly, but it took us over a year to get married.
Oh, well, were you that busy?
Yes, as I said, I was going to Northwestern studying accounting, and I was also going to Paul studying law, and I was handling a job during the rest of the day.
Mrs. Fishman, what were you doing while your husband was spending his days and nights in school?
I was a reporter for Chicago paper, you know, Sob Sister.
Yeah? Did you like the job?
Oh, I liked it, but I ran into lots of troubles.
What kind of trouble?
Well, I started when I was 18. I looked 16. Mm-hmm. And my first assignment was to cover a riot at a high school. When I got there, they thought I was one of the culprits and threw me into the patrol wagon.
Well, I guess you'd call that a tough break, huh?
No, it turned out to be very fine for me because I scooped all the other reporters. I got the best story before I got to the station.
That's an angle, isn't it? Well, that's wonderful. Let's talk to Sparky now. Sparky, is that your real name?
No, my real name is Rule Edward, but I was born on the 4th of July, so they call me Sparky.
I'll be back. Well, Sparky, how old are you?
Oh, I'm 13.
Uh-huh. Do you mind if I ask you, how much do you weigh?
Well, that's sort of a secret.
Sort of a secret. You like to eat, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, were you pretty proud when your brother was made one of the quiz kids?
Well, I was very proud, but they put me on the show a little while later, and I stopped being proud.
You mean you were one of the quiz kids, too?
Yes, I was on when I was 4. I was on a couple times.
Gee, where's a quiz kid at 4? Rod, get the prizes ready. We're about to be taken. Wow. Mrs. Fishman, how about you spinning the wheel for us for your family's first category? You just give it a good spin now. Okay, here we go, around and around and around. And it looks to me like, right, there it is now. It is 20. Your number is 20. Rod, would you look on 20 and see what we have as a category there for the fishermen?
Imaginary headlines of motion picture plots, Harry.
Imaginary headlines of motion picture plots. Well, there is your category. Now put your heads together and decide who is going to represent
think
the
family. Well, because he sees all the movies and we don't.
Hey, Sparky, are you a movie fan?
Well, I go quite often.
All right, now you're elected. And I'll tell you what, the rest of the family's going to be sitting behind you there. You can't see them. Don't look at them, will you? Are we all set?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go now. In this category, I give you an imaginary headline, and your job is to name the picture. Here is an imaginary headline of a very famous motion picture of quite a few years ago. Nice old ladies feed guests strong elderberry wine.
Oh, I think that's Arsenic and Old Lace.
That's right. Arsenic and Old Lace. All right, Sparky. Sparky, you're on your way now to that $1,000. And the second is, here's the headline, and what a picture. It's Traveling Man Finds Business Is Bad in Boston. Think a little bit about this now. You got 10 seconds.
Death of a Salesman?
Death of a Salesman. Yeah! Oh, that's fine, Sparky. Sparky, you're really sparking, you know that? You really are. We've got 3 more questions, so think real hard on these now, will you? Because we're rooting for you. Okay. New Orleans man rips shirt making love to wife. Come on, you're a movie fan.
Oh, Streetcar Named Desire.
Wow! Sparky, I'm beginning to see why you were made one of those quiz kids. You're all right. All right, now you're on your way to $1,000 in prizes. Don't give up. Here is an imaginary headline of a very recent, much publicized picture. Larceny charged, nobody will talk.
Oh, the thief.
Right, the thief. Oh, Sparky. I want you to know now that you have gotten 4 questions right, and this is the 5th and final question for you. And if you get this, $1,000 in prizes. And then we move right on to another category. So think hard, will you? All right, this was a very famous Academy Award-winning picture. Reporter blows bugle to bring down walls of Jericho.
Oh, gosh.
Come on, this goes back a few years ago. Come on, Sparky. Oh. Now,
the only one I can think of possibly could be connected with the Horn Blows at Midnight.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sparky. Horn Blows at Midnight was not right, but you have a chance to keep it in the family because you've got your dad and mother behind you. Now, don't look at them, and you tell us which one you'd like to have come up. Don't look. Don't look.
Oh, I think Mom will try.
Mom. All right, Mom. Come on up. I know you've had time to think about this, but I'm going to repeat it anyway. And $500 now you have at stake. It's down to 5, but it's still a lot of money. So listen to this. This was a very famous Academy Award winning picture. Reporter blows bugle to bring down walls of Jericho.
It happened one night with Clark Gable.
Yeah, that's it. Right. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you did win $500 in prizes. Maybe you didn't win the 1,000, but you tried hard. Sparky, that was great. And Rod, would you tell them what prizes they've won, please?
I sure will, Harry. The Fishman family have won a world-famous Bell & Howell camera and projector, the finest there is, and they have won a 1953 deluxe O'Keefe & Merritt gas range, complete with a fully automatic clock, the double broiler, and the exclusive disappearing shell.
How about it? Oh, thank you very much, folks. Now, Rod, how about our next family? Boy, we're really going now.
Well, right here, Harry, I want you to meet Jack Wilson, his wife, Madeline, Richard Wilson, 11, and 9-year-old Jeff Wilson.
Hi, folks. How are you tonight? Well, it's really a pleasure to have you here. My goodness, those are nice-looking boys you have there, Mrs. Wilson. I notice they're both blondes like you.
Yes, all the others are, too.
All the others? You mean you have more children?
Yes, 6 of them.
Oh, my. 6 more. 6 more. That means you have 8 children in all?
That's right, uh-huh.
Gee whiz. Mr. Wilson, I'd just like to say that George Washington wasn't the only father of our country. You're right in the running, boy. Why didn't you bring the others along?
Well, we did, Harry. They're right out there in the audience.
Out in the audience?
That's right.
Well, come on. Let's see the 6 other Wilson kids. Will you stand up? There they are, right down there. Let's put them on. Boy, oh boy, 6 more. 4 boys and 2 girls, is that right? Gee, that's a swell family. Well, you Wilsons ought to do all right because you brought along your own rooting section. Say, I'll tell you what, will you Wilson kids in the audience give us a cheer for your family, a real big cheer? Yay! Well, I can say that you folks are in business. All right, you fellas sit down and relax now while the folks up here start to win some prizes. You all set? All right, Mrs. Wilson, might I ask you first, how old you are?
36.
36. And how long have you been married?
14 years.
Mm-hmm. What are the ages of the children?
Oh, they go from 11 down to 3.
11 down to 3. Well, would you mind if I ask you what you do about mealtime? I mean, do they all eat the same thing?
Well, they better.
Well, I'll tell you, let's not neglect Papa over here. Where'd you meet your wife, Mr. Wilson?
In Denver, while I was going to Colorado School of Mines.
Uh-huh. A miner. Well, boy, I'd say you really struck gold. You know that? You really did. That's wonderful. What happened? Did you just see her and ask for a date?
No, Harry. I had to ask a friend of mine to ask her for our first date.
You don't mean it. Is that right, Mrs. Wilson? He had a friend ask you for a date for him?
That's right. He was a bashful type.
Boy, I'd say he got over that pretty well, didn't he? Are you in the mining business now, Mr. Wilson?
No, I didn't, Harry. I run a garage out in Burbank.
A garage? That's right. Well, I'll be darned. Say, Richard, you're 11, is that right?
Yes.
Well, Dick, would you mind telling us, do you ever help your dad down at the garage?
Yes, almost every Saturday.
Good. Does he pay you for it?
$2 and all I can eat.
Well, Mr. Wilson, how does that work out for you?
It'd be better off if I gave him $5 and cut out the eats.
Well, Jeff, old boy, can you come up here a little closer? Tell us how old you are.
9.
Well, that kind of puts you close to the middle of the family, I guess, doesn't it, with all the brothers and sisters? Let me ask you, how do you kids sleep at home?
We all have our own bed in one big bedroom.
Any special rules in the barracks?
Not to have rocks when we're having pillow fights.
No rocks in the pillow. All right. Well, now I want you to know it's been wonderful talking to all you four members of the 10-piece Wilson family, but let's get down to the important business of seeing how many of these wonderful prizes you can win from us and keep it in the family. Are you all set?
Ready.
All right, remember now, the sky's the limit, so let's get started. Mrs. Wilson, would you like to go over there and spin the wheel and see what category comes up first for the Wilson family? There she goes, the big spin. It's slowing up now, around and around, and I see number 18. Rod, would you be good enough? Look for number 18 there, and let's see what category.
Oh, well, Harry, here it is right here. It's famous lovers of fact and fiction.
All right, famous... famous lovers of fact and fiction. All right, now, who is it going to be? Will you put your heads together? Let's try to decide.
She's elected.
What, you've already elected her?
I sure.
Why'd you do that?
That should be quite obvious.
Well, now, look, Mrs. Wilson, the rest of your family is behind you. Don't look at them now, because they're bound to show some enthusiasm if you happen to miss a question, and we don't want you to see it, because then you might know who to call on. Because if you miss, we're going to ask you to call on a member of your family. All right, now, you're on your way to $1,000 in prizes. Here we go. All you have to do is name the famous lovers. Name the rodents of Walt Disney who make love in black and white and Technicolor.
That's Minnie and Mickey.
Right, Minnie and Mickey Mouse. That's right. All right. That wasn't very hard, but you're on your way to win that $1,000, and that's the important thing. All right, here, listen to this now. He was a poet, she was a poetess. Her father objected, but they got married. In fact, in a play and in a picture, who were the lovers?
That was Barrett of Wimpole Street.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Barrett and... Robert Browning.
That's right. Elizabeth Barrett, Robert Browning. Good memory. Well, you're well on your way to the $1,000 now. Are you ready for question number 3? Here we go. In opera, the American lieutenant loved his Japanese sweetheart, but later he left her. Who are the lovers? This is tough.
That's Madame Butterfly, I think, isn't it?
That's Madame Butterfly. You got that much.
Cho-Cho-San and Lieutenant Pinkerton.
Oh! It's really a tough one. Here we go. Let's take question number 4. Now, think hard. In literature, he was a famous Frenchman of sword and of speech, but he lost the woman he loved by a nose. Who were they?
Oh, it's Roxanne, and I'm not sure I can pronounce the other one. I think it's Cyrano de Bergerac or something.
Cyrano de Bergerac. Well, here comes that crucial moment now. Are you all set? All right, question number 5. Don't be nervous now. Before he went to the White House, he loved her deeply, but she died before they could marry. Who were they?
Abraham Lincoln and Rutledge.
Right! Oh! I'll tell you what that means now. She went all the way through the 5 questions, got every one right, and she wins $1,000 in prizes. But in addition to that, you get a chance to go on and win more money. Now, would one of the young fellas step up to the wheel here and spin it, and let's see what your category is. Would you do that? Either one of you. Oh, that's fine. All right. Boy, that's a good big spin. Huh? It's going on. Oh, there it is. It's number 11. Rod, would you look and let's find out what number 11 is?
Cowboys and their pals.
Cowboys and their pals. Well, now which one of you now is going to do all the talking for the family, do you think?
Huh? Oh, I think Jeffrey should.
You think the boys should? All of you sit down because you have to be the rooting section. This little guy's on his own. All right, here's the question now. A cowboy always has a pal, especially in the movies. Tell me the name of Tonto's masked friend.
The Long Ranger.
The Long Ranger. That's exactly what my boys say, the Long Ranger.
I'm sorry, Harry, but the big bell says it's time to stop giving away those prizes for this week.
Oh, my golly, that's too bad. Just when we were right in the middle of this whole thing and our family was on its way to clean us out of house and home. All right, now, folks, can you all be back with us next week?
Yes.
Everybody back with us next week. All right, it's a date. And everything stands just like it is now. You've already won $1,000 worth of prizes, and you're on your way for the $2,000 mark. Who knows, next week may go right on winning for the entire half hour. You might even be up here with us for 6 months. Who knows? All right, it's up to you. The sky's the limit. So see you right here when we open our show next week, and you're wonderful. Thank you. Well, that's the agenda. That's it. But next week, the Wilson family will be back, and we'll have a couple of other families on hand. And just in case the Wilsons happen to miss... As for all you friends out there in our listening audience who'd like to appear on our show, write me a letter, tell me when you plan to be in Hollywood, tell me about your family, and we'll try to make it a date for you. Just drop a line to Harry Babbitt, NBC, Hollywood, California. We'd love to have you. Now, it's time to say so long, see you next week, and remember, keep it in the family!
Keep It in the Family is a production of Frank Cooper Associates, directed by Harry Spears, script supervision by Saul Stein and Larry Golden, music by Billy Wardell. Rod O'Connor speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
This year, 32,300 people are doomed to death.
By Cornelius Happ, I never stopped to realize.
You know, Harlow, it takes 10 seconds and 336 feet to stop a car traveling at 60 miles an hour. That's why brains are more important than brakes. Why the man behind the wheel should beware of the speed at which he's driving. Why safe and sane are synonymous words to drivers who value their fellows' lives as well as their own.
In other words, Hap, just because Autolite resistor spark plugs give your car more pep, don't try to use all of it, eh?
Exactly, Harlow. But there's more. The Good Samaritan is the gracious guy or gal who not only knows and keeps the rules of the road, but also keeps his temper in his head when some bungling Benny gives him the roadhog treatment.
Yes, Hap, it's sad but true that one right way to wrong driving is to always demand your highway rights. Be sure to be safe.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and Harry Babbitt and the radio quiz show Keep It in the Family. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.